not his place to praise God.
Yeah.
All that he's done and continues to do. And here we are.
Here we are.
You are together in this place.
Yeah. All right.
Let me get to turn your attention for just a moment, if you would, to the 16th chapter of the Gospel according to St. Matthew. Beginning with the 13th verse. I'll be reading from the King James Version. Matthew, the 16th chapter, beginning with the 13th verse. When Jesus came to the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, "Whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?"
Yeah.
And they said, "Some say that thou art John the Baptist, and some Elias, and others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets." He said unto them, "But whom say ye that I am?" And Simon Peter answered and said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus answered and said unto him, "Blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood have not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say unto thee, that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I shall build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." I'm going to speak with you a little while this morning. The church, faithful stones held together by love.
All right.
Caesarea Philippi. Beautiful, beautiful place. There was a time that some of us were here and had an opportunity to go to Israel, and when we were there, we got to go to that place. We were able to see out there that special environment where it seemed that there were a lot of gods that had been worshipped there. On the walls and in the walls are carvings and statues set back in those carvings. And somehow all around it seemed just a place where a lot of religions are found their spot to come and to worship whoever they worship. But it was there that Jesus took his disciples, there at that place, that right at the head of the Jordan River. The Jordan tables rise there. Smaller rivers come in and feed the Jordan. And so somehow this very special place, Jesus came and was there and talked with the disciples. And they had enough time to talk to a lot of people about who he was and answer a lot of questions about what people came up with. Somehow a lot of people had a lot of different ideas about who this Jesus was. They had seen the miracles that he performed. They'd heard some of his teaching. They knew who Jesus was. And so Jesus asked his disciples, "Whom do men say that I, the Son of Man?" Simon Peter could expect him to be the one to step up. Not that he was a loudmouth or anything. But he was kind of bold. And if anybody's going to step up, Peter's going to probably do it. It doesn't mean he's always going to get it right, but he's going to have an answer. And this time he had the right answer. He said, "Flesh and blood." So he said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus said to him, "Flesh and blood hadn't told you that. You didn't get that from the streets. You didn't get it from those folks who said they know it all. No, you got that from the Lord. The Spirit of the Lord has let you know who I am. The Spirit of the Lord has made you recognize me as the Son of the living God." This rock that now, many of us think when he says, "upon this rock," and he's talking about Peter, we know that Peter wasn't the rock. But it was his understanding and the revelation that he got. That's the rock. And upon that rock, upon that revelation, and that revelation that many others would also have, that Jesus is the Christ. And that's what Jesus was saying the church was going to be built on. It was going to be built on knowing who he was. Recognizing that he is the Son of the living God. Beyond this rock, I'm gonna build my church. You know, when you think about it, somehow it seems that Jesus just had a way of just sort of painting pictures with his words. Somehow, when I listen to the things that he said and his messages, somehow it just sort of comes boldly before me. And here in this particular case, he made this metaphor, this comparison. He says, "Upon this rock, I'm going to build my," this strong understanding, this strong belief that you have, this strong faith that you have, this recognition that you have of who I am, on that rock, upon this rock I'm going to build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. So from now we see that this rock that he was talking about, I just told you that that wasn't Peter. As a matter of fact, that rock is all of us who recognize Jesus as who he is. And the rock is church that Jesus is. We are the church. The church that Jesus is building, the church that Jesus was talking about, is us. We are the rocks in that church. And somehow, I guess if you look at it, as I look around, I see a lot of different faces and a lot of different looks. And somehow, I guess we have to recognize that all of us, though we have something in common, the love for Jesus Christ and recognizing Jesus, there's a lot of differences in us. We're different. You know, coming down Route 9 in the morning, I've been doing this for about, of course, half, you know, almost 3 months. They've been working on a gate. And out there at the gate, there are a lot of different stones. And somehow, the more they, it seems like it's taken them a long time. Perhaps it's because they're trying to find all the stones that they want. Different colors, different hues, different shapes. All these different stones. But you know what? As he's getting it together, as he's gotten to where he is now, that's a beautiful day. You look and see all those stones. It's like a beautiful mosaic that they're there. All different parts make it better. All those stones, they're not the same. They're not the same color. They're not the same shape. They're not the same. But somehow together, they make up what this man was trying to put together. It takes him a long time. I don't know when he's going to be done. And every time I look at it, it seems to be more and more beautiful. As I put more and more stones, more and more different stones, more and more different stones into that fence, it makes it more and more beautiful. I suppose that's the way the church is. Because somehow it seems all of us, we're different colors, different shapes and sizes. That's all right. Because Jesus wants all of us to be a part of that church. That beautiful church. That special church. But you know, when you think about it, as I watch that man out on the road, it seems that as we put it together, there had to be something to hold those stones together. I mean, there's something to hold them together. I mean, he couldn't just stack them there. The storm would come in, and though there may be big rocks, storms would be able to move them around. Things are going to happen, and it will be easier for the stones to be moved than to come rolling down. And so there had to be something to hold them together. So I saw it, how he put some kind of mortar up inside. I don't know exactly what it was made out of, don't know how strong it was, but somehow it was there to hold it together. Something to hold all of it together. You see, this church that Jesus put together, this church that Jesus was identifying in this scripture, is made up of all of us. But you see, there has to be something to hold all of us different stones, all of us rocks together. Jesus made us know that. He told us there's something. He said there's a new commandment that I want to give. That commandment was what he was giving us, that was going to hold us as a church together. He didn't just say, I want you to love one another as yourself, but he said, I want you to love the way I love. You see, love, and that love is what's going to hold the church together. That those who give themselves over to Christ are held together. Not his love. His love makes us worship him and recognize him and establish a relationship with him. So no matter how strong your relationship is with the Lord, he wants us to have a relationship, a strong and powerful relationship here in the household. He wants us to love one another. Come on, come together in this place. He's talking about the Lord. While we're in this place, he wants us to show love to one another. Paul had a letter that he wrote to the Corinthians, and in that letter, he talked to them about a lot of different things, because there was a lot going wrong at the church in Corinth. But as he talked about it, he got to a point where he found that if you look at all these stones, all these rocks, if you will, all these Christians, if you will, in their house, in that place, in Corinth, it seemed that there was a problem there. There were some problems in that place. And if you go through them and talk about some of them, they were jealous of each other. They were bragging about what kind of gifts they had. All kinds of things going wrong. But most of what was going wrong in there, most of what he described there, he said there's something that can take care of it. That 13th chapter of Corinthians, when we read that, it talked about what Jesus was telling us. What he was telling them is all those gifts, all those things that you have, all those things that think you make things that makes your church special. All those are okay, the gifts of prophecy and all the things that you have. Then you got a choir that can really sing and all that's beautiful. But somehow there's something that is better than all of that. Better than the gift of his choir. better than the words than the gifts that somebody who preaches might have.
Yeah.
Better than all of those things.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh.
Love.
Because somehow the church has got to stay together and be pulled together with love. That's what Paul was telling me in 1 Corinthians 13. He says, of all the things that you've got, all of it, no matter how good it is, no matter how special you might think you are, no matter how much you might think you have as a church, there's something that you need. There was something that was missing in that church. They were having communion and getting together and they get in little groups. Somehow they wouldn't talk with each other.
Right.
I have to, I got my guy, you got your guy, you got your guy. We all right.
Amen.
Paul was saying that doesn't work.
Yeah.
If we're going to be what the Lord wants, at that church that he was talking about, at Caesarea Philippi, there's going to be those stones coming together. We need to be melded together and pasted together, stuck together, glued together, if you will, with love.
Yeah.
That's missing in so many churches.
Yeah.
Somehow it seems that we come and we praise the Lord, and that's what we come for. But the Lord wants us, when we come together, to be there for each other.
Yeah.
He wants us to show love
right.
to one another.
Yeah.
He wants anybody who comes in to feel comfortable in the congregation, not because they're there in the presence of the Lord, but because they're in the presence of people who love.
Amen.
We are the household of faith. Paul referred to the church as a household of faith.
Yeah.
He said, now, do good things to everybody. Mm-hmm. But that's okay, but especially to those who are in the household of faith.
Yeah.
We need to recognize that the Lord wants us to do more than just say the remembrance. He wants us to do more than just come in and praise him. Certainly we're coming to praise him. Certainly we're coming to lift up his name. Certainly we're coming to raise money that we might be able to accomplish many ministries.
Mm-hmm.
But what the Lord wants us to do
is
to become a household of faith and a household of love.
Yes.
He wants us to be a family. He wants us to be able to not leave this place on any Sunday and not have said something good to somebody. On the other side of the church, and you haven't really gotten to know them real well, but somehow you just want to let them know that you know their hand, and you're praying for them, you know what kind of situations they may find themselves in. We need to recognize
that's
that
right.
God has given us the opportunity.
Right.
We trust in him, we know who he is, we can talk to him. If we want to talk to him, we ought to be talking to him about somebody who we know needs to be prayed for.
Yeah.
That's who we are.
Yeah.
A household of faith, certainly, because we trust in the Lord. But a household of love, because he wants us to be there for one another.
Yeah.
Love. That's what it's about.
Yeah.
You know, I guess it gets to the point where people say, well, okay, I know I got other hugs this morning. I don't know how many of them are real. That needs to be real.
Yeah.
You need to throw your arms around somebody and let them know that it's real.
Amen.
If you do not to throw your arms around, maybe I shouldn't say this. I'd rather not have it from another. But if I get a hug, I want to know that means
you.
I want to know that means you care about me. I want to know that somehow this relationship that hasn't built at all to where it's going to positively be, it's starting to grow because you're there and you want to be there for me. We need to pray for each other. We need to get some real hugs to one another.
Yeah,
we need to find out if there's anything that we can do to help somebody.
Remember
how to hold the faith. This rock that you have built. We're all built together. And it might look like a beautiful mosaic.
Yeah.
So it's pasted together, stuck together with love. We are not what the Lord wants us to be as a church.
Amen.
We are not the household of faith,
but
the Lord wants us to be.
Yeah.
We need to look around now. And see if there's somebody who hasn't said hello to you in a long time. Somebody you haven't seen for a while.
Yeah.
Let's go further than that. Maybe there's somebody who you have seen who's not here right now.
Yeah.
This household of faith should be reaching out to them.
I want to know
that I love you and I want to be there for you.
Yes, sir.
Talk about love.
Love.
Love. Jesus said, not just love your neighbor as yourself.
Uh-huh.
That sounds like it's going along. I'm going to love you as much as I love me.
Yeah.
Jesus said, no, no.
New
commandment I give to you.
Yeah.
I want you to take it to another level.
Yeah.
I want you to love each other. You and the household of faith. I want you to love each other like I've loved you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. My Lord.
Love. Something special about it. Something special about love. We are here to praise the Lord and to establish a special, beautiful fellowship with one another.
That's right.
You should feel something special in you.
Yeah.
to feel the presence of the Holy Spirit, filled with love and purpose and all that. That's who we are.
Yeah.
A household thing. A household.
Yeah.
I don't know what you might be going through. I don't know what your problem might be. But you know, even if somebody comes up to you and they don't know exactly what it is, somehow it seems a real hug. The words I'm coming to pray for. Is there anything I can do? Somehow we need to recognize that that's who the Lord wants us to
be.
A household of faith. Trust in the Lord. A household of love. We love and be joyful to one God.
Yeah.
And there's a song the choir is singing. It says, I pray for you. You pray for me. We're all apart. We're all apart. We're all apart.
All apart.
I want to reach out to you, but it looks like you're going through something. I want to know I'll be there for you. I want to know that I care about your situation. I want to know that if you're going through something, I'm down as well as you. I want to know if you're having praise before. It fills my heart just like it feels.
Yes, God.
We need to love one another. We need to care about one another.
Yes,
you know, I haven't talked to her about it. It's not only what she's going to say. I'm looking at her now. And I'm going to say that I'm going to do something. One Sunday afternoon, and I don't know what service I'll be there, I'm going to walk out of the Bible churches. I'm going to have Barbara Dixon. And I'm going to invite the family to do it.
Yes, sir.
I know we get together often. But don't think it's a special time to live. Don't all sit at the time at the table without it.
Right.
Some of our time is just taking time to talk to one
another.
Time to express themselves. I haven't had too much time to meet you, but I'm so glad we're part of this session. I'm so glad we're going to have an opportunity to get to know each other.
Yeah.
I think it's worth doing.
Yes, sir.
I think it's something we ought to have. I think it's something we ought to get together and just not get together because we're about to have an afternoon program, but get together. Because we are family.
Yeah.
We are family. We are family. We are family.